الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته بكل هول من الأحوال مقتحيم.
My most respected ulama, respected elders, our seniors, dear brothers, and our young friends, we give our thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this Mubarak and blessed opportunity of the day of Jumu'ah, for the Jumu'ah Salah. Among the many special mercies and favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam upon this ummah, and more broadly upon humanity, is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen, and through his personality and through his prophethood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala channeled his special mercies towards the creation. And therefore, we can safely say that all comforts, all privileges, all the joys and happiness that we enjoy is through the blessings and the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This occasion of Jumu'ah is one among the many special bounties and favors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And for this, we find that on a Friday, the life of a believer, the day of a believer, the night of a believer is filled with a great amount of goodness and khair, a lot of joy and happiness, a lot of fulfillment, and the atmosphere is perfumed with durood and salawat, and it is a day apart from the other days that we live. And therefore, our praising of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is one of the duties and responsibilities that we have to our master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And in his very name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this very important responsibility and also reminder that the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, means the one who is most praised from among the creation of Allah Rabbul Alameen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who is most praised. And speaking about praises, we find ourselves incapable, deficient, and unable to adequately and definitively praise Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even speak about him in the manner that we should. And for that, we find that even when conveying durood and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Qawlul Badi, Allama Shawkani has mentioned, that when we send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not send it in the direct form. We do not say, I am sending salawat and salam, I am sending salutations and greetings. But rather, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convey these greetings and salutations on our behalf. So we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, that, O Allah, we ask you to convey our greetings and our salawat and salams upon the most perfect of your creation. And this is indicative of our imperfection, of our deficiencies, of our weaknesses, that what salat and what salam and what greetings can we convey So therefore, we implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a similar manner, when we look at the ayah of the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Here this ayah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself and the pure malaika send salutations and greetings upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, you believers also send greetings and salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allama Razi rahmatullah alayhi in his Tafsir al-Kabir, which is one of the most prominent books on the commentaries of the Quran al-Kareem, he has mentioned that it is sufficient just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sending salutations and sending blessings upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sufficient. The malaika we're not even needed. But what is the reason for us being implored? The reason is that by us sending durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we give expression to his high and praiseworthy status. And this is what is the expression of love and loyalty and faithfulness towards our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as followers, as people who claim to have his love, and as those who claim to follow him, the responsibility, the duty is to give expression to the high status and the maqam of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, my dear friends, that we develop this love and affinity, and we bring about this desire for attachment. We all have a desire to be close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all wish for his proximity. However, at the same time, there are certain laws and rules as far as love and muhabbat is concerned. The one maxim of love is that the beloved serves as a form of chastity, safety and protection for each other. Oh, this is one of the objectives of nikah and marriage also, that the faithfulness, the loyalty, the morality within an institution of marriage gives cover to those who are within that relationship. So when this is applied to the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a follower has for him, then this morality and chastity and faithfulness and loyalty takes a new meaning. It means that a person does not bring any impediment, any form of disloyalty, any form of obstacle or obstruction between him and the one who he is loving, and in this case it is none other than our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is a chastity of the heart. It is the chastity of the inner of a person, that a person gives such loyalty and faithfulness to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there is no impediment and obstacle between him and the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was beautifully demonstrated by a great personality in the history of Islam by the name of Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullah alayhi, who was known as Khayru Tabi'in. His story is very well known. He was living in the south of Arabia, in a place perhaps close to Yemen, and he had a desire to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to become a companion, and to enroll himself as a sahabi. However, he also had a mother who was very old, and she needed him to take care of her. And this obviously was now a type of a drawback for him, that on the one hand he had a desire to go and visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara to become a companion and a sahabi. On the other hand, he had an obligation to stay behind and be by the side of his mother who needed him. And therefore, what does he do? And this is the idea of love that we are speaking about. And this is the definition of love that we speak about. That on the one hand, we have feelings, we have desires, we have some ideas that we wish to fulfill. And on the other hand, we have the order and the ita'at of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is in front of us. Now we spoke about loyalty and we spoke about chastity and morality within a relationship. And the morality of this form of relationship would be that a person sets aside his feelings, sets aside his ideas, his thinking, and what he thinks to be better for himself, and adopts that position that will be pleasing to the master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is precisely what this particular beloved servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does. He sets aside his own thinking and his desire, and he adopts the position of ita'at, of obedience. And the commentators give a beautiful explanation here to say that, look at his thinking. And this is the thinking of love. He gave preference to ita'at over ziyarat. He gave preference to ita'at. Ita'at, we are saying, is obedience, loyalty, faithfulness. Over what? Ziyarat. What is ziyarat? Ziyarat is to go and meet, to be in the company, to enjoy the companionship. Why? Because he understood that they could be a badal, a replacement for ziyarah. He could have the opportunity to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometime in his life, possibly. And if he does not get the opportunity to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this lifetime, he will most definitely meet him in al-akhirah, in the hereafter. So there is a badal for ziyara, for meeting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for ita'ah, for obedience, if you are unfaithful, if you went against the command and the idea of love, then there is no badal for that. That will be a transgression. And that will fail the claim of love that a person expresses for the beloved. So we learn the true essence and the meaning and the feeling and the drive of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and from these great companions, my dear friends. And therefore, in our times, when we speak about love, and we speak about the praises of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we become emotional, we get deep feelings, and a sense of claim and a sense of ardency is within us, which is not necessarily anything that is negative. To have a good feeling and to have a desire and to have a dua is something that is mahmood, it is praiseworthy. However, that alone is not sufficient. Just to sing the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through poetry, to make claims, and to give expression to some form of affinity and ardency does not fulfill the full criteria of love and muhabbat and ita'at and obedience. It requires a person to be fully involved in that claim and in that dua that he is seeking and he is wanting. So we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in his period of prophethood for 20 years, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tirelessly worked on his mission of calling people to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Particularly the 13 years of Makkatul Mukarramah were most difficult, persecution and every form of difficulty. And after migrating to Madinatul Munawwara, right up till 7 years after Hijri, right up till the conquest of Makkatul Mukarramah, there was no large-scale movement and acceptance of Islam. People were coming into Islam gradually, but there was no mass movement of acceptance of Islam. However, from the time of after the conquest of Makkah, which occurred around 7 or 8 AH, till the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was approximately 3 years, the amount of people that came into Islam superseded the amount of people that came into Islam in the first 20 years of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophethood. So the historians make a very important observation here. And they marvel at this amazing turn of events. And they try to identify the cause for this complete revolution of Islam's rise and expansion. And they came to the conclusion that up to the point of the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah, Muslims lived within themselves. The beauty of Islam was not very well exposed to the broader humanity. The opportunity was not there. There was persecution, there was difficulty, there was development, there was a lot of groundwork that was taking place. However, once Fath-e Makkah took place, now Islam became exposed. And those non-Muslims who did not have the opportunity to interact with Muslims, they now had that opportunity. And what were they exposed to? They were exposed to the honesty of Muslims, to the fair trade of Muslims, to the good character of Muslims, to the compassion and kindness that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had developed within themselves, and every other good attribute that caused them to become impressed with Muslims. And this brought people into Islam in the thousands. So my dear friends, the message of the seerah is an open book. It is clear as daylight that if we really want to convey Islam to the world, then it is not difficult. It is not difficult because the exposure of Islam is there. In today's time, it is even much more pronounced because the avenues of media are so many. But it requires the bearers and the holders of that particular legacy and the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be able to convey that and to be able to promote that. We must be able to cultivate within ourselves, develop within ourselves, absorb within ourselves the mannerisms, the etiquette, the beauty of Islam. And there should be no need for us really, like in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and when there was mass-scale movement into Islam in other eras, there was no need to convince a person about accepting Islam. There was no need to develop a strong argument for Islam, because Islam in its very natural self draws people towards it. Anyone who comes close to us, who sits with us, should be convinced about accepting Islam. So therefore, this sunnah and the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this love and this affinity that we speak about is something that is alive, it is a living legacy, and it is something that is available to the entire world, to the entire mankind. That is why the study of the sunnah and the seerah is such an important component of our lives, of our day and night. Today, unfortunately, the ummah as a general have become very complacent in terms of knowing the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very few people read, and if we read also, we do not read deeply. So the reading of the seerah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one starting point, one very important component of our life that we can bring into us as a commitment. And by reading the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a living narrative, we will breathe life into ourselves. Really, if we want to truly live and we want to bring life into ourselves, let's journey the journey of the seerah in the journey of the Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, my dear friends, that this month of Rabiul Awwal, these reminders are there to refresh us, to revive us, to remind us. However, every day and every night of a believer is a day and a night that we should be living the Sunnah, we should be studying the Sunnah, we should be reading the Sunnah, and we should be following the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. My dear friends, in conclusion, we are coming to almost a year of this very, very difficult and unprecedented situation that the Muslim Ummah finds itself in, and that is the atrocities and the tyranny and the oppression that is being committed in Gaza, particularly and more broadly in Palestine, and throughout the world, the aggression and the atrocities against Muslims, generally. The facts of the matter are known to everyone. No one is ignorant of what is happening, what is truly transpiring. However, our responsibility is that at this time, at the forefront of everything that we do, we should keep our Muslim brothers and our sisters in our du'as and in our discussions. If we are eating, let us eat feeling Gaza. And if we are speaking in our discussions, let us not leave out the difficulties of the people of Gaza in every discussion of ours. And if we are spending, then let us spend, but let us also spend in the cause of the upliftment of the people of Gaza. In this way, inshallah, we will be able to participate in the difficulty and the untold, untold difficulty that they are undergoing. Because really, the annihilation of Gaza, the annihilation of the Muslim Ummah in that part of the world will really be a destruction for all of us. We should keep this in mind, that it is not just about a single area or a part of the Ummah, but really the agenda is much, much more broader. So therefore, let us keep them in our du'as. Let us ensure that we keep the narrative alive. Let us make sure that we are speaking about it, and whatever efforts can be made, there are efforts on different fronts, and we should align ourselves with the different efforts and try to be effective, try to be as genuine, sincere, and as effective as possible, and inshallah, with that, we will be able to bring about the type of outcome and the desired victory which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant the people of Palestine victory, resounding victory. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from the difficulties that they are undergoing, protect Masjid al-Aqsa, and inshallah, through that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring a resounding victory and revolution throughout the world. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.